What's good, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 Football Show. As always, I'm your host, Jordan, and I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
Yes, sir. I'm exhausted, so I'm not gonna have a lot of energy today. My old ass went out, and now I'm paying for it.
Shouldn't have did that. That's funny. I saw this thing on TikTok, and it was like, what quote from Friends did you not relate to when you were younger that you relate to now? And it was one of the dudes saying, I'm not unhappy. I'm 29. I just want to sit in a comfortable chair and relax or something like that. And I was like,
Yeah.
I'm not 21 no more, bro. Like, I'm not even 29 yet, but I'm not 21 no more.
Just want to relax right now.
Yeah. I'm not unhappy. I'm not lame. You know, I just want to relax.
Yeah. I pay a lot of money in rent. I kind of just want to stay in that place right now.
Honestly, I'm not even going to tell you about that. I'm not even going to tell you the dollar figure I spent. And it's partially has to do with my pit stop. But I'm going to just say we're in a duplex now where I have to cut my own grass. And I was in an apartment where I didn't. So I had to buy the things needed to do that. So that's what my weekend consisted of. I'm tired too.
you're probably way more tired than I am, though.
And then nobody's seen my grass that Dante has. It was high. You know, it's easy to cut grass when it's low.
Yeah.
My lawnmower kept getting like clogged. I'm like shaking it, trying to get like the grass out and all this other kind of stuff. And there's poison ivy everywhere. So I'm like, I had to like go through and like spray a bunch of poison ivy, and then I'm gonna have to rake that up. It's just
What's her name better be appreciative when she come back to see that yard.
That's the thing. She don't care about it. She feel like the landlord should have to do it.
I'm not mad at that sentiment. Like, because, I mean, if there's certain rules and stuff, but because my thing is, if I got a landlord, yeah, you should be cutting the grass. If I didn't have a landlord, I'd do all of the things. But she got a point.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a Canton thing, or maybe I'm tripping. I know a lot of people whose landlord don't cut their grass.
That's great.
So, like, I never expected that. Like, when you live in, like, a house or a duplex, even if you're renting, I never expected the landlord to cut the grass. But then, like, you say that, and she said that, and I'm like, maybe, I don't know if it's a Canton thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm just tripping. But, like, I never expected them to be like, yeah, I'm coming through, and I'm going to cut the grass. Like,
I know. And Kent, when me and Brandon lived in a duplex for the 1 year, the landlord did everything. Cut the grass, shoveled the sidewalk and stuff. So that's the only reason why I say that.
I feel like it's slightly different in a college town.
I guess that's fair.
Like when you're renting the college students, that like you can't expect an 18-year-old to go buy a lawnmower.
Because I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I think it's like the style of like you can say duplex, but I think it's like the style and like the location and things like that. Like this duplex is more like a house. Like I mean, we could like change things in here if we wanted to. Mm. Some things we have to like quote unquote get permission, but like we're allowed to like paint and like different. Like this is like our thing, I guess, relatively because we pay rent and don't own it. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. I just didn't expect that, and she's mad about it. And I'm like, I don't know. Do people just be cutting grass?
I guess it depends. I guess it does depend. You know, I ask if I was y'all. But
no, know, I know we. It's in the lease that we have to cut the grass.
That's crazy. So yeah. Never mind.
But like that's one. That is. Yeah, that's one of the first things I asked. Like I knew. From jump, I was going to have to cut the grass. Right. She just forgot.
So, like,
and when the grass was being,
if anything else goes wrong, like a clogged toilet or like the heat or something goes out, that's on y'all.
Or no, they have maintenance.
Okay,
they have maintenance. Yeah,
that's all I was wondering.
Like, okay, but like, I think it depends. Like a clogged toilet, like they probably not going to fix that.
Well, yeah,
but like if the toilet breaks,
yeah,
you know, like okay, they have, they have maintenance for like big things. And we know because they did a really crappy renovation. So we've had to have maintenance. Like I think this month, and like this month is the first month we haven't had maintenance in the house since we moved in. We had maintenance in at least once in the first 5 months since we moved in, sometimes multiple times.
See, that's, and some that's of it was what, like, eyes, I'd be like, bro, y'all getting half the rent payment if I come in here. Like, I keep having that, you have y'all come out here.
Yeah. I mean, we ain't have to pay for nothing. It's just, yeah, some of it's understandable because it's like, it's an old house, you didn't know. Other things is like, yeah, y'all hired a crappy ass company to do this work, and they just made it cosmetically look good. And my thing is, you can get over that with some people, but I'm not those people.
Yeah.
And Zari is not those people either, because she watches a whole bunch of home renovation shows, so she knows what stuff is supposed to look like.
That's what I'm saying.
So like we not those people. Like, you gonna come fix this. This is not what this is supposed to be like. Don't play with me.
Yeah. they be trying to get off. They'll renovate a house real cheap thinking they could get off with it. Some people can, but not with y'all.
Mm-mm. And it's cool. It's cool though, because like, you know, figure out what I like and don't like. Because we're gonna stay here. That's the deal that we made. Because I didn't want to move. The deal that we made is we can move, but you got to find a place you can stay in for years. Mm-hmm. Not like a lot of years, but at least 2 or 3, because we're getting married. And I'm not moving again until we buy a house. So I'm like, don't find a place you're gonna want to move. After a month, after a couple years, you want to find something better. Find something that got everything you want in it, that's big enough, all that kind of stuff, because I'm not moving again until we buy a house. So,
my thing is, like, not moving again until I can afford movers. So, if I do a budget and movers can't be in it, we can't move just yet. Like,
listen, you know, I feel you on that. My only issue is movers are too expensive. Like, there's a number that I'd be willing to pay for movers, and because I actually wanted to get movers for this one, and then I saw how much it cost. There, one mover, you know where I used to live, you know where I live now.
Yeah.
One mover was trying to charge me almost $1,000.
What?
To move. Yeah, to move that 2-bedroom apartment from there to here. It's like a 12-minute drive.
Yeah, it's not even that big of a difference. That's crazy.
Yeah, and like, and so I would love to say that, but I don't know, maybe I gotta find like a family moving company, something small that's like reasonable. All the moving companies with a name, 2 men in a truck, like all of them that I looked at, crazy. I don't even know how people move across country. I would sell everything and throw it away. Yeah. Literally charge me $1,000. And then they were just adding in extra stuff. They were like, yeah, well, you need this truck, and we need like, they're like, yeah, we need like 6 hours to move in, and so you got to pay hourly and this. I was like, it's not going to take you 6 hours. It's not going to. And then when we, it didn't take us 6 hours. Like, it was just me and a couple of friends. It didn't take us 6 hours. I'm like, I know the stuff that I have. Like, it's not going to be whatever the hour number. It's not going to be 6 or 8 hours or whatever they were charging. She was like, yeah, well, we got to do this and this, that, and the third. So it's going to be, I'm like, and we have 2 people. I'm like, no, that's not how it starts. Yeah. So I am pro mover, but I am pro. I have a limit of what I feel like movers should cost.
I didn't know it was that bad, because I just know I couldn't afford it at the time. But I don't know. At some point, my body can't handle doing this dumb shit anymore.
That's fair. Moving
stuff, and I know at some point, I know in my 30s, I'm not gonna want to move things. That's how I look at it. I'm not gonna be. I don't want to be 32, and one of my friends goes, "Hey, can you help me move?" No,
you don't have no kids.
Play something. You better call up a nephew. Something.
No little brothers.
I'm not doing it.
That moving people is done at 30 for sure.
I'm not doing it. I might call you broke. Like, that's how I look at it. You asking me to move in my 30s, I'm like, brokey. I'm not helping.
Mm-hmm. Relax. Dang, no little cousins. I know you got a good family. Stop playing
somebody,
with me.
I know somebody just started going to college. They was just doing sports. and come get them.
$50. Like, oh my God, bro.
Because you can't bribe me like, oh, I'll feed you. No, I'm 30-something. I need actual compensation. Like,
I need paid breaks.
Like, it'd be those times, like, it'd be like 2 days before, like, yeah, can you help me move in 2 days? I need 3 weeks of stretching before I can do it.
I need notice. We need to negotiate a contract. Yeah. Like, my lawyers need to look at it.
I got a lot going on here. You cannot just ask me out the blue, man.
Y'all got health insurance? Like, what happens if I twist an ankle walking up them
stairs? I'm gonna twist the ankle, bro. Like, I'm old now. Like, this ain't the one.
It's not the one. And the worst thing is, not only did they ask you, like, they don't know what it takes to move where they're going. I help somebody move, and I either think they hadn't looked at the apartment, or they didn't look at it in the lens of moving. I helped someone move. It took us an hour and a half to get the couch into the apartment because the stairs were little.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't no space. You know, like, sometimes when the stairs are little, you kind of, like, put it up and then you, like, flip it or whatever.
Yeah.
There was no room to do that. We literally had to, like, it took forever. We literally had to force it up, like, put it through the balcony. Like, it was literally like, you should have gotten rid of the couch and bought a new one. And then when you moved out, you should have got rid of the couch. Like, it was that small. And some of that's the apartment's fault. Like, why is your apartment so small? You know, people have to move in here. But I'm so tired. Like, I'm so sick of people like, yeah, it'll fit. And then you walk in, and in 5 minutes, you're like,
Like, as soon as you pull up, you're like, this, no.
And they're like, oh, yeah, but you can take off the chair legs, and you can do this, and you can do that. And now you're holding the couch over your head for 30 minutes, trying to, like, move it inch by inch. No. I'm not going. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Just everything. Like, no, bro, I can't help you. Especially if you're going up a few flights of stairs. I'm cool. I'm good. Like, I can't help you in this
age. I'm 30, live on the first floor.
Like, moving in here. So the thing is, like, if you're not moving into a house, if I'm in my 30s and you're not moving into a house or where everything can just be slid into, like, one room through that front door, you better sell some drugs or something to get somebody to you move, because I can't. I'm not the one now.
Find a crackhead or something.
Something. He'll figure it out. But I can't.
Moving in here was annoying. And it's not even that many stairs. And, like, we had two big rooms. So, like, we'd bring in some stuff through the kitchen because that was only three stairs. And then we'd bring some stuff through the front door, which was a little bit more. But it's not super, super terrible. Especially because the stairs are wide. Like, we're going up to a porch. It's not, like, covered stairs and stuff.
Right.
But still, like, that's – I'm not moving again until I can afford a house and can afford new things. Because except for, like, the TVs and some certain things, I'm throwing stuff away. Zaria don't know that yet, but it's going to happen. Like, this couch, I'm not taking this couch with me. It's too heavy. I'm sorry.
I'm buying a new couch, and they're bringing it in my house. Like, I'm not doing nothing.
And this couch, I went to Cincinnati to pick up. I'm not doing that no more. It's that I may not do movers, but anything I buy needs to be delivered. Like, I need you to put it in the house.
Yep.
Like, washer and dryer, you putting that in the house.
Yeah. Couch,
you putting that in the house. I'm not 24 no more. I'm not going to pick nothing up. I drove down to Cincinnati and rented a U-Haul and helped them put my couch on the trailer and tied it down and then carried it up the stairs. Nope.
No.
Go ahead. Put that in there. I just want to stand and point. Right there is good. A little to the right. Can you push it back a little? Perfect. Yep. Thank you.
That's all I want because I'm not doing it. When I ordered my mattress in my first apartment, they brought it up and set it up. I was like, damn, y'all gonna be here when I move?
Look, oh, don't get me started on mattresses. People don't just like, does your bed spring a split? No. Okay. It's not going. Throw it away. Throw it away. It's like, but you can bend your mattress around this corner.
Oh yeah.
You can't bend a box spring.
It's done. It's
you can't throw it away. We literally I think we gave it to someone. I don't know exactly where it's at, but like we got a box for with ours and it wasn't coming. And I told her it's not gonna fit. Throw it away, sell it, or give it away. I don't know what you're gonna do, but it's not gonna fit around this corner.
I did the exact same.
You gotta get a split box spring, or you gotta get like we have one of them little metal ones.
Yep.
Like that you like build, that you like take apart and stuff like that from like Amazon. So it's actually really nice too. I'm not even gonna lie to you, But like it comes in pieces, and you can tear it down, and then you put it back together, so you can carry it. Like it's not this big hunking like
it's not,
piece of wood.
When I moved in here, I looked at the stairs and went, "Don't even pull that box spring out my truck." They're like, "Nah." Like for real. I was like, "Yeah, we just gonna throw it away. Like it's not gonna fit on that corner. It's really not. So,
it's not gonna fit."
Like the mattress barely bent around. We're fuck it.
Forget this. And that's gotta ruin the mattress too. Like I know we be bending it, but that can't be actually good.
It
for
can't.
The mattress.
Yeah, no. But hey. Oh well,
we gonna get it.
They designed this. I promise you, if I was to design my house, the stairs are going because I think normally you can do 3 feet wide, 6 feet, 6 feet wide, nothing but tall ceilings, so everything can just flow through.
And no covered stairs.
Nope.
Just stop it. Like they don't be designing stuff for. Moving
for people to move into, like, it looks nice, like,
yeah,
but is it practical?
It's not, it's never practical.
Nothing's ever practical,
not at all. That's the one thing. Last thing before we actually start talking about some sports, right? That's the one thing. Like, so, like, my fiance loves older houses, which is cool, I'm fine with that. The one thing that's always impractical, though, is they never had a TV. They either, like, when they built the house, they didn't have a TV. That's fine. I understand that. But, like, when you renovate it, there's no good place to put a TV.
Nope.
And it's like, we got lucky, sort of, because the TV's above the fireplace, which is fine. It looks cool, but, like, you gotta, like, look up at it, which is annoying. But, like, ours is decent because the fireplace is centered. There are a lot of places that I've seen, like, looking at places to rent, looking at places to buy. And, like, she gets annoyed when I say this, but I'm like, where are you putting the TV? Like, that matters. Like I get that you think this is nice. Where's the TV going?
Like,
you're not gonna not watch TV. We're not living in this house to show it to other people. You're not gonna not watch TV. So where's it going? Like, the fireplace is not centered. There's a whole bunch of little corners and stuff in here. Like, I'm not buying a 32-inch TV, and I'm not putting it on the floor. Like, where's the TV going? Like, and it's just like, I get it. When they built the house in the 1900s, they didn't have TVs. But when you renovated it, you should have thought about that. Because this looks weird.
And I guess, like, if she was smart, she could just be... Not that I'm calling her dumb, because I don't want her actually to hear this and be like, don't they call me stupid? But, like, you could build... I guess, like, around a fireplace and stuff like that, you could build a TV stand, and then, like, it'd be like that. But even then, it's still a lot of work. One thing that I'm always fearful with older houses is that, like, I'm not getting a window air conditioner. I need central air. I've lived in apartments my entire life. I'm getting a house, I'll be damned if I do a window air conditioner. Like, no, I need central air, and I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to pay for that to be built in. Like, no. Yeah. Already come.
Our house is so hot. I just bought some fans. I got them on a really good discount, but they were, like, originally, like, somewhere between $80 and $100. That's not what
fans?
I Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hold pay on, that, bro.
But they were somewhere originally. First of all, when's the last time
I haven't bought a fan in years, but inflation comes fans, oh my god.
Yeah, especially especially because they don't have them little ugly white fans that you used to like blow into, like you used to like try to stick your fingers and stuff. More? Not really, like it's really hard to find those. So
Walmart
everything
ain't got them or nothing like that.
I don't go to Walmart.
Hey.
I don't know. Walmart may have it. I haven't been to Walmart in a while.
It's like, it's insane. $100.
Yeah. So it's really hard to get those. Everything's like, you know, the little black, like, stand fans or like, whatever. Yeah. So, but the point that I was making, I got a good discount. I didn't pay $100 each. They were worth it. they may have been worth the $100. I'm telling you, you don't understand. Our apartment is so hot. Our house is so hot. When you touch the stairs, it gets hotter. And literally eats. And then you turn the corner, and it just like smacks you in the face. It debunks you. It's so hot.
Totally, we had that blackout here, bro. Or when the power went out, my living room and kitchen freezing cold. freezing cold. I took two steps up to go upstairs to my bedroom.
And I got like, punched.
Oh. I was like, oh, oh no. Yeah. I was like, AP trying to kill people. Because I was like, my power only been out 2 minutes. So I was like, did it just suck the air that was upstairs out? Oh, yeah. Man. I slept on my couch.
I contemplated if I didn't have somebody else staying here that was sleeping downstairs, I would have did it. So I went and bought some fan. But I'm telling you, I woke up cold this morning. That's how good the fan is.
Oh, hmm.
Yeah. It may have been worth $100. That's not what I paid, but it meant like I may have paid that. Like if I went back, I don't need another one because our downstairs is cool. But if right. I went back today and it was like it's $100, I might still buy it. Maybe. So I'll have to think about it for a second, but I might still buy it. Hey, all right, let's get it.
With fans.
Inflation hit everything, bro.
Oh, God. Oh, man. All right, let's now that we're 20 let's get into the show.
Yeah, you know, listen, we ain't have nothing to talk about anyway. I'm sure somebody feels our pain. Somebody's like, you know what? They did just ask me to help them move. I'm sure there's some other people on this show who got like kids that's in like college. That like I was carrying futons up three flights of stairs.
Never again.
So you know, like, man, you ain't got no friends, like. But all right, so first of all, I just want to say happy Father's Day. We should have started out with that.
We should have.
I mean, this is Monday, but like when we're recording it, it's Father's Day. Okay. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day to all the people who should be fathers. And shame on all the people who haven't made people fathers.
Was that a stray? Like,
yeah, that's a stray. That's a stray. She deserves it. This better be my last Father's Day. Not celebrating.
That is the craziest stray I've ever seen anyone catch, man. Oh my! Oh,
she got, listen.
Hey, he threw out his day next.
She got to a Father's Day next year to give me some good news.
You can't even tell me on Father's Day that I'm going to be a father. Like, I need some news.
I need to see some onesies, some little Nikes or something. Stop playing with me. But it's not about me today. It's not about me. Happy Father's Day to all the actual fathers out there. I hope that they're actually celebrating the holiday.
Oh, man.
Fathers don't get no love like we do on Mother's Day. Hopefully your kids actually got you something.
Dad. I got you next weekend. But
yeah, you know, it's cool. It can be delayed. You know the craziest thing about Father's Day? Dad's got a grill for themselves on Father's Day.
I was just having that conversation not too long ago. I mean, bro, the marketing for Father's Day be like, here's some tools to do some chores.
buy your dad some tools so he can do what your mom's been asking for the last 6 months.
I was like, yo, if I become a father and I know my gift came from Home Depot, I'm throwing a fit. I'm throwing a fit.
Yeah, the worst part about it is like, my fiance can't buy me tools because we have different price points.
That too.
She sees something. She's like, this is fine. No, it's not. You don't even know the name of that brand. You're not doing that. You can't. I told her, I was like, listen, you can buy me tools, especially now because like I need some things. But you need to buy the thing that I've told you that I wanted. You can't just go in there and be like, yeah, I said I needed a leaf blower. And you go buy me a $40 battery-powered leaf blower that's going to last 5 minutes. Stop it. Like, she's not that bad, but, like, it's just, like, I'm very particular, as I feel like a lot of men are. You like a brand, you like a certain thing, like, yeah. You know, hopefully y'all not, you know, buying the most expensive, because that's unnecessary, but there's a medium, and I need the medium tools. Right now, I use DeWalt. DeWalt is medium.
My favorite thing about DeWalt's not too bad.
My favorite thing about DeWalt is somehow Fat Kid Deals always has DeWalt stuff. I don't know what kind of deal they have with Amazon, but I've gotten a bunch of DeWalt tools really, really cheap, and they're like very quality tools. Like,
yeah,
they're not the best on the market, but I've read a lot of reviews.
I love their power drill.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of videos of people who do home renovations and things like that. They always have DeWalt. Because, like, unless you're doing certain things, like, unless you're, like, drilling through concrete where you need, like, a hammer drill or, like, some of those kind of things,
right.
You don't need the top of the line. If you're just doing stuff around the house, DeWalt's perfect. Like, I mean, the dude that came and mounted my TV, because I don't own this place, so I didn't want to mount it, he had a DeWalt drill. He's been mounting TVs forever. My thing ain't never failed. It's like, all right, yeah. So... But like, don't buy like DeWalt, you know, don't go buy me a Craftsman, bro.
unless it's all right, I give you that. Unless it's the Craftsman like toolkit thing where it comes with like wrenches and screwdrivers and stuff like that. That's different.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool. But like, I don't want no.
But don't give me no power. Don't give me no power tools that are Craftsman. No. I am okay.
My lawnmower is Craftsman, but that's where like Craftsman's good at that. Like lawnmower, like they have that market. I went to Lowe's. Like 90% of their lawnmowers and stuff are Craftsman. And then they have like the really expensive like Husqvarna or whatever the hell
is. Oh no, Home Depot has Deer. Has the
do
they? Yeah, they have the Deer stuff. The green and yellow.
John Deere. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't go to Home Depot.
I used to work at Home Depot. That's why I know.
I used to work at Lowe's, and they're the same store, but like
pretty much because I worked at both. No. Pretty much the exact same store.
Lowe's owner's a little less racist. I'll just leave it at that.
A little less racist? I don't know if that's even a good sentence.
Actually, it is. It is. Like, at least when I was working there, the CEO or manager or whoever of Lowe's was black. Mm. Like, one of the really, like, high people was black. So, you know.
I didn't even care to even know that about Home Depot. I'm not going to lie to you.
Because you know what it is.
Home Depot. I know what Home Depot is about. Yeah.
It's funny because I was just at Lowe's and I was talking. So like we've talked about it, we're both black, and I hope no one gets offended by this, but a lot of white people aren't super friendly to black people. That is what it is. And I was talking to my friend because she went with me, and I was like, there are three places white people will always talk to you. They'll always talk to you at Lowe's and Home Depot. Yeah. They'll always talk to you at a rap concert, and they'll always talk to you at a bar when they're drunk.
Oh yeah.
And it's hilarious. Oh, yeah. Because if you're in Lowe's and Home Depot, white, black, woman, don't matter. You're of a likingness. Like, oh, you're looking at tools too?
We're in this together. What you got going on? Like, next thing you know, you leaving with way more than what you thought you needed.
Yeah. That never talked to you at Target.
No.
Never talked to you at Target. If they don't work there, I've never had a white person talk to me at Target. but I walk into Lowe's. Oh, yeah, what you looking for? Oh, yeah, I got that tool at home. I've had it for 20 years. It's just,
Or it'd be contractors. They'll talk to you. Or you like, thanks. Like, you're doing better than the employees, which, again, I used to work at Home Depot. We don't know a lot. We don't.
I knew a lot. I worked in lawn and garden, and I worked in lawn and garden, and I actually care about lawn and garden, which is why I don't mind cutting my own grass. So like, I knew a lot of stuff there, just like naturally, but they didn't train me on it. They just throw you there. Yeah. So like, I knew stuff, but like not like if you don't cut your own grass, if you don't know the difference between things, like people are like, what's the difference between the 120cc and 140cc, and why is this one this and this one's that, and I'm like, the only difference is this one self-propels and this one doesn't. But like, you don't, like, yeah, so they don't train you at these stores. They do not,
no.
But then I will walk to anyone in Lowe's. If they look seasoned of any sort, like, they look, like, if they look confused, like it's their first time, I'm not talking to them. If they're a little too young, I'm not talking to them. But if they look 26 and above, and don't let them have on a belt with tools. Like, they came like with their tools.
You were in the middle of doing something.
I will ask anybody in there for anything. Where is it at? They always know. Stop playing with me. Like, so, yeah, it's funny. It's also Juneteenth. So I just very quickly wanted to say happy Juneteenth. For people who do not know what Juneteenth is, very quickly, Juneteenth is the celebration of the day when enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, finally learned that slavery was illegal. So, like, you know, President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, but slavery didn't just end because there was no telephone. There was, you know, slave owners weren't just giving up their slaves for free. You know what I mean? No. So there was a town in Texas, and this happened a lot of places where it didn't happen immediately, but this is the last known place. 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, the people in Galveston, Texas learned that slavery was over. And so it is the celebration of actually the end of slavery.
Yeah.
So nice. What that is.
That was good job.
Thank you. So we celebrated. Just quick question, as we've spiraled and haven't talked about sports at all. Are you one of those people that are mad that it's like celebrated now? Or like, are you like, that it's like a national, a federal holiday and that kind of stuff? Because there's people on two different sides of the fence on it.
I'm in like the middle of it. I'm happy it's a national holiday and like we get the day off to have that day off and stuff. The marketing that like spent that just came out of nowhere about the whole thing, that's where my gripe is. Like, I didn't want it marketed, but I knew it would be, so I was already prepared for it. But I'm still not happy about it. But I am happy that we get the day to celebrate. Like, they give us that day.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to look at it. Because there are a lot of, like, there are people I know personally who are, like, mad that it wasn't a holiday and that they had to work on it. Yeah. And then now they're mad that people are marketing it and doing things like that. And I'm like, it's a give and take. Like,
yeah, sadly.
Do you want it as a federal holiday? And then you just have to ignore the terrible. Because it's like, my thing with it is like, while it's annoying, and I will agree that it's annoying, they do it for every holiday.
Yeah. I mean, look, Cinco de Mayo is not even a federal holiday here, and it gets marketed like crazy. So,
yeah. I mean, like, who do you know, white, black, or other, that like legitimately is buying the 4th of July themed things?
Yeah.
Like, every holiday is marketed poorly,
think about this month, it being Pride Month. It's marketed like crazy, and then no one cares after the month ends.
No, my job is selling a Pride t-shirt, and I was going to buy it. And then I asked, I was like, are they donating? And I work at a college, where's this money going, by the way.
Yeah.
Are they donating this to, like, the Pride employee resource group? Are they donating this to local, you know, things? Nobody knew the answer. So I didn't buy one.
So I know what the answer is.
Why are we selling Pride t-shirts in our bookstore if it's not being donated somewhere? As a non-profit college, like, all colleges are non-profit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is a state college. All state colleges are non-profit. They're federal entities. And you selling a Pride t-shirt, and where's the money going? So I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm just saying it was to be expected.
We live in a capitalist society that was going to happen.
That's the trade-off of it being a federal holiday. But I like my day off.
I'm cool with that. It's just other
than I don't have to use a PTO day. And I can grill, which is what I was going to do regardless.
Right.
I'm going to grill. So that's what I do. Yeah. All right. Well, let's actually get into some sports. Finals happened. 30. Actually, you know what? Let's take a break just to get that out.
All right. Fair enough, Lydia.
And then we'll wrap up with some sports. If you are still here 34 minutes in when we haven't talked about sports at all, thanks. We appreciate you. I'm guessing if you're still here, like, but moving conversation got you a little fired up. You're like, you know what? I'm tired of moving. I'm 45. I'm not doing this no more.
Hey, look, sometimes we have some gyms, like, where we can really relate. And, like, at this point,
my kids did just buy me a Craftsman.
Somebody will be listening to this tomorrow. You know what?
I already got a screwdriver. That is the last thing I'm going to say before we go on break. The craziest thing about buying people tools is, do you know what tools they got?
Nope.
Because if you don't know what they need, bro, I don't need 7 screwdrivers. Like, I have that already. I need something very particular. Right. Like, you can't just go buy tools. They're like, oh yeah, just go buy that some tools. As you see, like shows and movies, and then they pick up like the most basic things. And I'm thinking, I know it's a movie, but I'm thinking, he already owns that.
every single time. He don't need that. He gonna put it and be like, thanks.
It's a screwdriver. Let me go put it with my 17 other screwdrivers. Right.
Somebody was like, what as a man, what would you want? I was like, you know how y'all like jewelry and stuff. I was like, why not? Get us, like, I was like, some of, like, especially, like, black people, like, some of us wear earrings. Some of us have started wearing, like, chains and stuff. Like, do that. Like, I like jewelry. Yeah. I don't want a screwdriver.
No. But here's the thing for me. You can legitimately buy me tools as long as it's something that I need. Because I feel like, as a man, I should have certain things, which is going to tie into my thing. I like certain things. I'm fine with that. But if it's not something I need, or you're only buying me tools, then we have an issue. On my birthday, buy me tools, and then on our anniversary, buy me a chain, and then on Christmas, buy me some shoes. You just hit boom, boom, boom. You hit all the points. If you buy me tools every trip, it's like, all right, what is this? Like, what am I to you?
I'm your personal handyman.
Like, what are you talking about?
Because I'm a cheat. I don't.
Okay. And with that, we go. Okay. And with that, we're gonna go commercial. Not commercial. We're gonna take a break for ads. We will be right back. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Land Grant Holy Lands I-70 football show. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. And I'm with my co-host Dante, and we've spent 37 minutes, and we haven't talked about sports at all. But it's Father's Day. It's Juneteenth. It doesn't matter. If you are not a father, or you're not a man, and you don't care about anything, you listen to this show, we still appreciate you listening. You know, because I know for a fact there are women and people who listen to the show. There have to be. Everyone likes sports. So sorry, you know, if you didn't enjoy the conversation, but hopefully we inspired you to tell people no.
Yeah,
when they ask you to move, you know what I mean? To tell people no when they buy these bad
things. It's okay to say no. It's okay.
It is okay to expect somebody else to grill for you on Father's Day.
Yeah, it's okay to look at the gift you got and go, thank you. Do better next year. Like, it's okay.
It's okay to ask for the gift receipt when they bought you your 17th screwdriver. Like, it's fine. It's okay. You're not unappreciative. You are just already had that.
Like, literally show them. Walk up to it and go,
yeah,
I have these.
Yeah, but I will put, before we move on to actual sports, I will put some responsibility on the men as well.
We should
stop saying you don't like things. Stop asking, please, for the love of God, stop asking for socks and boxers. You can go buy that yourself. My fiance gives me the things that I want because when she asks me what I like, I tell her.
or she at least listens.
Very simply.
She at least listens. Now, and I'm like, next thing you know,
if you tell them and they don't listen, that's a problem. And hopefully we inspired you to say something because we as men have to stop accepting bad gifts, especially if you're a good gift giver. If you're a shitty gift giver, like if there's women listening to this and be like, my man don't give you no good gifts, okay, we're not talking about him. We don't care about him. But for the ones who are good gift givers and not getting good gifts in return, that's an issue. But if you didn't tell them what you wanted, if every time you ask for something, you ask for some socks, we're disappointed that you're here.
Unless you've gotten to the point where you've given up on your girl on giving you something nice, because there has been times where I go, oh, they're not even trying anymore, and gave up
with them. break up with him. All right, this is going to spiral. Let's get into some sports. The NBA Finals have happened. First of all, 40 minutes into the show, y'all should know we don't got no Big Ten things to talk about. Nope. Y'all follow the Big Ten if you listen to the show. There's nothing. We're going to go over the week two schedule. It's the worst schedule alive. It is. There's no good games on it. There's one good game. So NBA Finals has happened really quickly. I said Warriors in six. You said?
Warriors in six.
Yeah. It just felt like it was going to happen, right? Yeah. And then everybody was disrespecting, saying they had like a 14% chance and all this other kind of stuff.
That was crazy. And I'm like,
do y'all not know how hard it is to win a final? Secondly, like, there are some things in sports that aren't quantifiable, right?
Right.
One of the things, especially in basketball, because it's not one game, experience matters. Like, why do you think it's so hard? Even in football, why do you think it's so hard to beat Tom Brady? Like, why do you think, like, they're like the Falcons, right? They should have won that. Tom Brady had the experience. He knew how to do that. Who was it? The 49ers that lost to Tom Brady? Who was it that, like, they had a re- – who did the 49ers lose to when they went?
It was Baltimore.
No. More recently with Jimmy.
Kansas City.
Okay. That's not experience. That's not experience. Kansas City was just better. But regardless, like, it's hard to win these games, especially against experienced teams. Yeah. The emotions, the ups and downs, and especially in basketball when it's seven games, they're up 2-1, feeling themselves, and lost three straight.
Lost three straight. And I think the biggest example of what you're talking about when it came to experience, in a way, and it was game five, because Steph, I mean, 0-for-9. I think he only made 4 or 5 shots. I mean, he was shooting terrible. But you saw Andrew Wiggins, and again, that, like, in a way, like, that he doesn't have experience, but the people around him had experience. So Andrew Wiggins had himself a good game. Klay Thompson had himself a decent game. That's experience, even coming off the injury. I think Draymond almost had a triple double, like, in the low range.
I mean, even having Iggy, who didn't really play, but Iggy being able to share that knowledge.
Yeah, because he was coaching Wiggins the whole time. Yeah. So it was and it showed up that way. Even game four, I think, even shows the experience, because Boston had a lead and Steph Curry said no. That's like, it was stuff like that. Like, that's experience right there. It's like, yeah, you got a lead, but we could take it from you. Like, we've been taking leads from y'all all series. Literally. It sometimes y'all keep it or not?
Yeah. And my thing is, like, also, people like to disrespect Steph, which is fine, whatever. But Steph is a legend in the game. And my entire thought process, honestly, was Steph didn't come this far to lose. He didn't.
Nope.
He didn't come this far to lose.
No.
Especially with, like, it's the stupidest narrative in the world. But there was no one that was going to take finals MVP from Steph. And you never know when you're going to get back. How many people have said, oh, we didn't win this one, but we're going to get back, and never get back? The Warriors are the favorites next year, all this other kind of stuff. They could literally never get back. Like we were talking about with the Lakers, the West is harder. Even though Golden State's a better team, the West is harder. They could literally never get back. And they've experienced that with the injuries and things like that. And I'm like, Steph did not come this far to lose. He didn't come this far to lose. If they lose, it's because Boston's better, but I didn't feel like Boston was better. And my biggest thing with Boston, and we had that conversation, Jason Tatum is not it. Not yet.
Not him.
He's a good basketball player. Fine.
But it's he's not a superstar.
I could take him out his game. Not physically, not with basketball talent, but you say a couple mean things to him, he can't shoot the ball no more.
And not even just that. Like, if I find a way to get a steal off of you, I'm already in your head. I mean, there was because there was a point in time where Gary Payton just took the ball right out of him. And I was like, oh, he don't even want it. Like, he was like, thanks. And just kept on going. So I was like, Boston is a really, really good team. And I think they were the best defensive team Golden State saw all year, like, or at least all playoffs. Because, I mean, we can't deny that they took Milwaukee out of it. I'm not even gonna bring up Chris Middleton being gone, because I think, because again, it was seven games and game seven was close. So like, you took. I tell you this right now: if Miami had an offense, Boston's not even in there.
No. The biggest problem with Miami is it's Jimmy Butler and shooters. And their shooters are streaky, as most shooters are. And Jimmy is a great player, but he's not super offensively diverse, which is why when he gets deep into the playoffs, he's always getting injured because his style is too physical. He needs another player who can generate offense so he can just like cut. Or even, I know we talk trash about people because he's never going to take a break on the defensive end.
And you know,
like, at least he can take a break on the offensive end. Like, put him in a corner and let somebody else work so he can catch his breath.
And I think that's why there was a reason why that was why Kyle Lowry was brought. And then his injury didn't help because he was in and out of the lineup that whole playoffs. And they still went to seven games. And that's what I was saying. Even though they took those teams out and made it to the finals, Boston had a very glaring weakness that, I mean, Victor Oladipo was showing you. Like, they can't dribble. I can poke this out. I can poke it. And if I look at it right, I can poke it. And that's why I was very confused.
Led the league in turnovers.
Yeah. Jason I was so Tatum confused when people were like, turnovers. Golden State only had 14% chance of winning the finals when they played
defense. Are you watching basketball?
Yeah. They play defense just like Miami. And can shoot.
Like, it blows me because everyone knows what Draymond is defensively, right?
Mm-hmm.
People have underrated Klay's defense for years.
And I don't understand that either.
Up until the last, 2 years, Klay was always defending the number one guard because Steph was a liability on defense. I respect him enough to recognize that he is not no more. Aside from some, size things, which he can't help. But he gives a lot
even
of
then,
effort
even
on
then,
defense. He's gotten better.
Yeah. I mean,
he's gotten way better, but for years, especially
Horford in the post, he guarded Jason Tatum in the post. Like,
but he wasn't doing that during that original run. Yeah,
no.
And Wiggins has always been a good defensive player, and I understand.
I wouldn't say good. This is the first time I've seen him have the push. Like, someone pushed him to be the good defensive player that he could be.
He's okay. I'll put it this way: he's always been a good defensive player. He has never put in the effort, which was always the issue with him. It's his effort would wane. Wiggins has he's always been a good player. Like, if Wiggins was drafted five, if he was drafted even five, don't let him get to 10. People would love him forever.
Yeah.
If he was drafted one and one comes with expectations.
And he was compared to Michael Jordan at the time too. So it didn't.
I thought he was compared to LeBron.
It was because they called him Air Canada. It was Jordan. And Maple Jordan.
You're right. That was him. Yeah, that was him. Idiot.
Because he could jump off the gym. Which, there was a point in time, I don't even know if you saw me tweeted, but I was like, when he dunked on Luka, I was like, thank you. You remember you can jump. Like, you can attack the basket. Thank you.
Listen. It has to be added to Steph's legacy because he's the leader of the team. Uh-huh. It has to be added to Steph's legacy, what he helped Andrew with. Because they got something on it. But here's the thing. Me and you talked about it. You can vouch for this. I didn't know he was going to be this good. But I said Andrew Wiggins to the Warriors is a great move.
Yeah.
It was going to work out. Because
I said it. I was like, he was going to be Harrison Barnes, but better.
Yeah. Because he's not – his biggest problem – and it's fine. Because there are 30 teams in the NBA, right? Not all 30 have a number one option. They don't. They have a guy, but they don't really have a number one option.
Yeah, so the Kings don't have one. To me, and the Pacers.
It's fine to me that he's not a number one option. You have to know where you fit in. But I didn't even think he was going to be their number two option, which is what he developed into. As a number three option.
He had no choice.
Yeah, but when the trade happened, I didn't think he was going to be number three. Yeah. But he ended up being the number two option, which is great. But as a number two or number three option, Wiggins is great because he's super talented. And then he put in the effort. Oh my God, bro.
And it was crazy because, it was pointed times where he was like, man, all right. I mean, I got Jason Tatum on me. I'm going to take him. I'm gonna take him and then get a bucket on it. I'm like, bro, you getting outperformed by the third option, Jason Tatum.
And people forget Wiggins was always nice.
Yeah, he was nice. He was always nice.
People forgot that because nobody was watching Minnesota. Wiggins averaged 23 his foot.
He was averaging 27 at one point.
Yeah, he averaged 23 his rookie year, bro. He came in and was just more efficient.
He just got more efficient this year.
And he wasn't a leader. Beginning of the year. He wasn't a leader. That's fine. Not everyone has to be a leader.
No. And that's okay.
It's okay. It worked. So, yeah, I think the Warriors were disrespected. I think there were so many things, so many reasons why they should have won, in my opinion, and why they did win. And Boston is a good team, but they have, like you said, they have glaring weaknesses.
Glaring.
Weakness at number one is, again, like you said, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can't dribble, which is annoying because go dribble. I get you're tall and long, but the ball should be on a string. Stop dribbling outside your body. You dribble inside your frame. Long dribbles and all this? Like, stop doing that.
And then you're spinning.
Stop spinning.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That it got to a point where I started having flashbacks of Jerome Bettis for the Steelers. Bro, stop spinning. Stop spinning.
Bro, you can't even spin on 2K without risking them stealing the ball.
Bruh. So, stop spinning. Stop doing it.
And weakness number two, and that's the thing. I've said this forever. I think Jaylen Brown is Klay Thompson. I think he may be a little bit better, or he may long term become a better player. Yeah. But as the engine for the team, I genuinely think the Warriors have zero rings if they don't have Klay, because Klay has never had a bad game when the other star had a bad. There were games when both Steph and KD had a bad game or a bad two or three quarters, and Klay single handedly game six Klay. Jaylen Brown does that. Jaylen Brown almost never has a bad game the same time Jason Tatum.
I promise you this. If Boston won, Jaylen Brown would have been finals MVP. Yeah.
He's not the most talented, but I think he's a little bit more complete. And it's not as easy to take him out of his game. Yeah. He just needs to learn how to dribble, for one. Like, he just needs to learn how to dribble.
He needs to know how to dribble left.
Yeah. And maybe he needs to bring his son so the NBA can put him on TV so people will like him a little bit more. Jason Tatum's the only guy with a kid in the NBA. Did you know that? Nobody else has a son. And this is no shade to his son. He's adorable. Shout out. Nobody else has a son. He's the only one. LeBron don't got kids. No. Nobody got kids. just Jaylen.
I don't know what it was. I just don't think Jason Tatum it can ever be him. Like, I think he has the potential. I just don't think he has the mindset for it. Because people kept saying, the lights are brightest, but I was like, he had a game seven twice.
Yeah.
Against Milwaukee and against Miami, and was able to step up and perform in those games. And I was like, and he didn't have one performance this entire finals where I went, he had a that was a moment. Like, I don't remember him having a moment, and it was so. And the thing is, I think Game Six was so bad with the turnovers that after a while, I went back and I saw Jaylen Brown score 34. Don't remember that happening.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown is the engine of that team, and that's why I think it's crazy that people say that they should trade him. If they trade him, I don't care who they trade him for. If they trade him, Jason Tatum will never score in the final.
It better be for a point guard that know how to play point guard.
I won't say never, because he may play for 15 years. But if they trade him, they won't get to a final in this era. LeBron will be retired. Steph, it's gonna be years. There's because they need him.
Yeah.
Because Jason Tatum is not him. He's not it. He's just a very talented hooper. That's cool. That's no disrespect to him. He's great, but he's not what they say is. And my thing with him is, because we joke about the Kobe thing, but not also joke because it annoys both of us. The people who talk the most never back it up. And there are a lot of people who Kobe affected in the league, both personally, professionally, just by being around there. And yes, there are certain people that he actually chose to mentor and things like that. But for example, Kyrie, for all of his flaws, Kyrie is a real hooper. Kyrie only brings up Kobe when asked. He does not live his entire life through Kobe. When it's time to hoop, Kyrie's hooping. He's not channeling Kobe. He's not Kobe's apprentice. He's Kyrie, who was positively affected by Kobe. Uh-huh. Jason Tatum thinks he's Kobe 2.0 or something. Like, it's just weird. And, like, I hate saying weird because I understand his impact. Like, I mean, he impacted people who never really even played basketball. So yeah. I can't imagine what it's like to actually meet him and him accept you, right? I understand how tragic his death was for everyone. But it's weird. The 24 on the jersey, the text message, like the dressing up like him when he went on his Boston, like pre-draft thing. It's weird. Stop. It's gimmicky. You're trying to channel something that's not you. And here's the thing. Kobe's not the only good basketball player in the world. So you don't have to be Kobe to be a good basketball player.
You could just be you. And that's what the thing was against Miami and against Milwaukee. He was being himself. And it got him to the finals. And then as soon as he got to the finals, it just went away. And I don't know if he was trying to be Kobe or nothing like that. Because there was times, he had moments in quarters where it was like, damn, like, that nigga cannot be stopped. Like, it didn't matter who was guarding him. The bucket was dropping. It was just his team was missing.
Because he's a good player.
But then next thing you know, this is what it was. This is why I don't care that you had your good moments, because as soon as the fourth quarter came, all you really did was turn the ball over.
Yeah. And here's my biggest problem with Jason Tatum in basketball as a whole right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone is bad shot makers, but you can't always make bad shots.
Yeah.
I can't think of the last time, unless it's like an open layup or something, I can't think of the last time Jason Tatum took a good shot. It's the same problem sometimes with Devin Booker, except Devin Booker gets into the mid-range. So he gets his good shots there. But outside the mid-range, Devin Booker just takes bad shots. It's just the thing that this league does.
And that was another thing, too. In game six, you could see it. There's no rim protection for the Warriors. And, like, y'all, instead of just attacking and just going straight there, you're doing spins. So now the ball can be stolen or stuff like that. Just go. But you know who was? You know what? I'm not really hitting my threes all like that, but I'm going to attack the basket and get 3-4 straight layups. Steph. And, I mean, straight at the rim. Even when what's the name? Williams has been blocking people all night. I'm going to still take you to the rim. And got the layup.
Oh, my God. It was game 4 or 5 when they had Al Horford on him, and he, boom, 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 layup. 3 straight times. Like, why is Horford guarding him, bro?
And I mean, looked like he was putting the most effort onto it, because even when Marcus Smart was guarding him, it was like a strategical type of guard, trying to get those little fake flop files and stuff like that instead of really just moving your feet. Because like,
playing ball.
I mean, like, there is a point in time where he took you to the cup. He stepped back on you, double team. Like, you won Defensive Player of the Year, and he was like, okay.
What does that mean?
Like, it means nothing, to me. Nothing to me.
Yeah, and this is not, you know, I'm not trying to shit on Boston. They're a good team, good defense, good coach.
Nah, I mean, come on.
You can't be okay, like the city, okay, whatever. The city, the Celtics, all of that's trash. But the players themselves are cool, and the head coach is black and day and married to Nia Long. Come on. Just like, round of applause, you know, but there was some glare. But yeah, that's my biggest problem with the game today, bro. Like what was it? Was game 3 maybe or 4 where Jason Tatum kept missing layups?
Oh man, that was
what game was that?
I think that was game 4. It was happening in game 2. It wasn't just Jason Tatum. I mean, Jaylen Brown, Marcus, Al Horford. Both the Williams people. I mean, just everybody.
What game was that?
I think that was game 2.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty bad.
It was atrocious to watch.
And it's like, how are you hitting these spin around fadeaway threes with people in your face, but you can't make a layup? It's fine to be able to make these difficult shots. It's fine. But you can't. Basketball is about finding the good shots, passing the ball, this, that, and that. Like, even Steph, for as all the difficult shots that he makes, his off-ball movement gets him open so much. Where it may be a difficult shot to a normal person, but there's nobody in his face, so it's still a good look at the rim. He may be off balance. He may have stepped back. It may look a little weird, but there's no one in his face because he moved off ball. He got open. He found space. Y'all not even generating space, and you never take a good shot. Where's the mid-range? Where's the layup? Where's the floater in the paint? Like, where is the I know I can make this shot?
It showed up in game one, and it showed up in game three, but then it just disappeared. I mean, game five, you're talking about the simple stuff. They missed 10 to 11 free throws. And, I mean, they were bad free throws. And, again, at the point in time, Jason Tatum missed both in a row. And I'm like, bro,
yeah, you I remember that.
That's not him. Like, you really not him. That's crazy.
You're not that guy.
You're not. It's really crazy. At least not right now. And that's why it was blowing me, because people be like, so if here's my thing. And I'm probably going to get some flack, but it's okay, because just bear with me now. You think Luka's a superstar?
Maybe.
Maybe. So, and in that case, Jason Tatum is one, right? Because Jason Tatum's been further than Luka's ever been when it comes to the playoffs.
I mean, okay. I want you to make your point, but I have a question. How many, realistically, how many superstars can be in the league?
I can go up to 10. Your top 10 should be all superstars.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If it's 10, Jason Tatum is not a top 10 player in the league, so he's definitely not a superstar. I'm not seeing it with Luka. He's super talented, but I would have to really think about my top 10 if I have Luka in there. But I would say he's closer to being a superstar than
Jason Tatum,
despite the fact, because basketball is a team game. So even if Jason Tatum has been further and he's in the West and some things like that, like there are things that can lead to
that. The West has been weak a few times now.
Yeah, and Luka hasn't got out of it, which is sad. Like Luka's lost in the first round multiple times. Like
mm-hmm. Hasn't seen a conference finals. Jason Tatum has seen three.
I mean, yeah. So,
that's my thing. I don't think Jason Tatum is a superstar. So that's why I was asking. Yeah, that's why I was asking. Not. Do you think Luka is? Because I don't think so yet.
I think he's a good basketball player. Because
mm-hmm. like, here's my thing. It's like people are saying like John Morant's a superstar now. No, let's cut the brakes.
He's a good player.
Let's pump the brakes.
But that's the thing,
my thing. Do you think Damian Lillard is a superstar?
No, okay. And he's not top 75 either. That was disrespectful. Well,
of course not. We've already been over that. No, he shouldn't be on that list. But again, there's four or five players I don't think that should be on that list right now. But
yeah.
Damian Lillard's definitely one. I mean,
so the bona fide superstars in this league is LeBron, mm-hmm. KD, mm-hmm. Steph.
Yep.
Giannis has earned his way, right?
Yes.
At this point. Okay.
Been one. Jokic. I mean, two MVPs in like a defensive player. Yes.
Yep. Jokic.
Yes.
Okay. Two That's MVPs. Five. Those are the ones MVPs. I feel like you can't. Those are the ones I feel like you can't argue. Mm-hmm. Then you can get into. I mean, so who would be after that?
Chris Paul.
So yeah, you get into Chris Paul. You get into. He doesn't have the team success. And he doesn't have the MVPs because he's lost to Giannis and Jokic. But is Joel Embiid a superstar?
No.
Okay. So I mean, if Joel Embiid's not a superstar, there's a lot of people that's not superstars.
Superstar, yes.
But that's how it should be. Not everyone mm-hmm. can be a superstar.
Like I think there the can the be. That's what I was saying. I think there can be 10, but I only think there's like 6 or 7.
But so I we're think at 5. Who would be the other? We're at 5 right now. Who would be the other 2?
We're at 6 because I say Chris Paul.
Okay, so who would be the 7th if you had another one? It's not Russ. If it's not Joel, I don't know who it is.
Yeah, honestly. That's what I'm saying. Like, because I can't Kawhi? Call them.
Oh, he keeps getting injured.
Yes,
but he's still Kawhi.
Yeah. Kawhi. If Kawhi's here, he's a superstar. Yeah, like, I mean. Yeah. Multiple finals MVP, multiple championships. Yeah. Like, the only thing he just doesn't go for is the MVP, but he is a superstar.
Yeah.
There's your
I
list.
Think that's it. That's
the Here's list. Your list.
It's not PG. It's not Joel. Because Joel is 8. Like, if we're ranking the top 10 best players and that's our first 7, is there another player in the league better than Joel?
No.
Unless you put an 8?
No.
I'm not putting Luka. I'm not putting Jason. I'm not putting Devin. I'm not putting Paul George.
Luka
I'm not
putting Trae Young.
Who? Luka would Luka be nine.
And that's the thing.
That's fair. That's fine.
Yeah, and my thing is, it's like people might be mad at me, but I think Paul George is better than Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler and a few of those players. I think he is. People just forget because he
forget corny. What Paul George was.
He corny in a way, and like you know, he's cringy. He's cringy, but he definitely.
When did that happen? Because up until everyone loved the Paul George.
It happened. And then when he got himself Hall of Playoff P. Is when he started calling himself Playoff P.
Okay. That's fair.
And then everybody got mad at him when he said Damian Lillard's shot was a bad shot. Even though it was. It just went in. It was a bad shot. Because I promise you, he missed it. Everybody gonna be like, why did he take that shot?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
It's the same thing with the Jimmy. Because here's the thing. Jimmy Butler's shot in Game 7 was a good shot, but he missed it. So now everybody thinks it's a bad shot. But his shot was actually a good one.
He was wide open. Jimmy, there are a lot of people in the same mode, right? Jimmy Butler, I think, is in the same mode as Paul George. The difference, Paul George is significantly better on offense.
Yeah.
Jimmy may be a little better on defense. That's fine. Especially now, aged, injuries, whatever.
I think they're like the same age.
Jimmy, there's no way. Is Jimmy that old?
Jimmy been in the league a minute now. Hold on. I will let you know.
You look up Jimmy. I'm looking at Paul George.
Man.
Hold on. Paul George is only 32?
Mm-hmm.
Why does Paul George seem so old?
Jimmy Butler is 32. Like,
I'm taking Paul George. Stop it. What are you talking about? Why does it feel like Paul George has been in the league so long?
And it's crazy because I would take Paul George as the player, but if I wanted to make a team, I'm taking Jimmy Butler because he's a better leader.
Yes, right. For sure.
He's a better leader.
Yeah, you can't argue.
I can't deny that, yeah.
But if we're talking about hoopers.
I'm taking Paul George. He got Paul George really got one of the smoothest games in the league right now. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's different.
And again, if he doesn't get hurt, Clippers might have been like the fifth seed.
But with no Kawhi.
Like he was keeping them afloat, and they still made the play-in. Again, the Lakers didn't make the play-in.
Yeah, and I get a lot of like dislike of the Clippers and things just because they talk. I don't even
they
like
talk. Because they talk a little player that won't shut the hell up.
Have done anything like that was really annoying. I mean, Kawhi has done things, but not in the Clippers entity. No. I didn't like that. But so not a super because if Paul George is not a superstar, how is Jason Tatum?
Yeah. Yeah, and now if you wanted to, I still wouldn't be mad if you call Paul George a superstar, but I'm not letting you call Jason Tatum a superstar.
Right.
I just can't.
No. Because right now, he's 32, and we're not talking about 10 years. We're talking about 5, because he'll be 37. That's still, he can still hoop. Are you taking Paul George or Jason Tatum?
Paul George. Better defender anyway.
Yeah. And maybe he's not as electric as a scorer, but he's going to take good shots.
If he has a bad offensive game, I have more faith in him having a good defensive game than I do in Jason Tatum.
Because he's not going to check out, and he's going to take good shots. He's going to get to the mid-range. He's going to get to the post. He's going to make the right play. And no disrespect to Jason Tatum, because he has gotten better as a facilitator recently. I mean, he had games with 7, 8, 9 assists in the playoffs. Yeah. He's gotten better.
Game one, but, he had, I think he had 10. So,
yeah, like I recognize him as a player, but comparison don't mean you're bad. Being in top 15, being the 17th best player in the NBA is not bad.
No, because there's over 300 players. So,
what are you talking about? Still in the top 5. 10, you're still in the top 10% of players. Like, you're still going to get $700 million in your career and go to the playoffs and all these other kind of things. But it only 10 spots. Not everybody can be top 10. It is what it is. Like,
I do think I am because like, I'm gonna get back on Steph. Even having the superstar performances, he do not get superstar calls. And it's I don't know when that's going to stop, but like they really.
You talking about Steph doesn't or Tatum doesn't?
Steph doesn't. Because Tatum and Brown were getting foul calls all series long. I think Steph only shot maybe 6 free throws.
Yeah, he doesn't get the superstar calls because he's small.
Which makes no sense. Because
and like people,
it doesn't make any sense because AI is smaller.
Yeah, but it's like okay. So there are basketball purists, right? Which is why I don't want to get into this today because we haven't talked about the Big Ten yet. There are people who will never have Steph past a certain point in all-time grades because he doesn't play a physical brand of basketball. He's never going to compare to Jordan, Bron, those types of guys because he shoots threes. Play a
physical game of basketball.
Right. You know that because you know basketball, but that's not the point I'm getting at. Uh-huh. So I think with the calls, it's the same thing. Because he shoots and things like that, he doesn't get – like AI would at least drive. So he was getting – and I know Steph does too. I'm not arguing for why he doesn't get the calls. I'm arguing that I think basketball purists, despite him being a superstar – don't see him in that light because, oh, he just shoots threes and he dances around the perimeter or whatever they like to call it to say it negatively, that he doesn't get some of those things that other superstars would get. Whereas like Jason Tatum or some of them's getting it, oh, because they're tough, they're physical, they're doing this, that, and this, that, and the third. I think it's bullshit, but I think it's probably why.
Okay, I see what you mean. And you're probably right, and I think it's dumb because then it's like, but then Shaq wouldn't get a lot of calls.
Because he's too big. Like, so who's getting calls?
Like, so it's like, it's just, it's stupid. It should be called. Because there was a point in time where I see Steph go up, lay up, definitely get bumped like two or three Boston players, no call. And I'm like, this could have ended in five games if Steph would have got the calls he should be getting instead of going to six.
It's crazy because Steph is disrespected. I mean, you had people coming out the side of their mouth saying he can't be that good because he doesn't have Finals MVPs.
Again, he was robbed of one, and I think everybody, if people remembered what they felt back then, they would remember that most of the NBA world was like, Steph got robbed.
Yeah. Steph got robbed. He was robbed of two.
Yeah.
Because he should have gotten the second one with KD.
The second one. He just had that bad game three, which was still.
But people forget that KD had a bad game four. They had back-to-back bad games. Klay saved them in both games. They had back-to-back bad games. But they gave it to KD because his last game was good. But his game before
he had a great game three. Because it's funny because they say Steph had a bad game three. 23 points, 9 rebounds, and I think 12 assists. It's something around there. So it was like he had a bad shooting night, but he did not have a bad game. And they were like, we'll just give
it. And I'm fairly positive. I don't know the stats, but I'm fairly positive KD actually had a bad game. Klay
game
was
four or five, yeah.
Yeah, Klay saved them that game.
It was what gave KD it was that hitting that three, walking up straight on. Because it was the one where he hopped back and forth. It was almost in the same space the year before, but he hopped back and forth, and it ended up switching because LeBron left him, and Kevin Love had to guard him, and he pulled up right in his face for that three, and it was like a dagger because he did the exact same thing to LeBron the year before because he just walked up on him, pulled up
hit three. Yep.
And it was the same game, same spot, same arena.
But that was Steph.
My thing is, it's like that Finals MVP could have went to KD or Steph. I'm not mad at either, but Steph definitely could have three Finals MVPs if we being honest.
Easily.
And KD would only have one.
Which I would have been perfectly fine with. I mean, let's say, I can't say that I'm mad at KD getting it. Like, it wasn't egregious. Like,
no.
But
it's not like, because it's the same thing when people be like, when people bring up Shaq's Finals MVPs over Kobe. Like, okay, Shaq got the first one because there was literally nobody on the Pacers team that could guard him. So, yeah, bro, like, all my points are going to be easy, but Kobe averaged 21 and something in that entire finals. Then in the next one, they averaged around the same amount of points in the finals. So it's like, yeah, Shaq won it. Kobe could have easily won it too. And I still think the third one should have went to Kobe. But that's just me. That's just me. Yeah. Shaq was just phoning it in by the third one.
All right. Let's get to some Big Ten. This is gonna be quick. This is gonna be quick because we don't have a lot to talk about.
Because the games stink, bro.
Yeah. So we're just gonna, like we said, we're gonna go through the schedule week by week. Well, at some point we're gonna have to double up some weeks because there's not 14 weeks into the season. Week two, again, we're not doing all the games. We're just doing the ones that are interesting. They're not really interesting games. So Iowa versus Iowa State is always interesting. That's a rivalry game. I can't remember why they do that so early. I think it's because it's not like in conference or whatever, but there have been multiple times in the past couple years. Isn't that like their rivalry? Yeah.
Why not during rivalry week? Weird.
I think it's because it's not in conference.
Okay.
Or they've always played it that. There's a reason. I don't know what it is, but there's a reason. I think I looked it up last year. I just don't remember.
Because last year it was around, I think it was week two last year.
Yeah, it's always really early. There have been multiple times where Iowa State was the better team or should have been the better team and just didn't win. Like I always say, there's some things
in sports that aren't quantifiable. Last year they were the better team.
Yeah. There are just some things in sports that aren't quantifiable. Rivalries are one of them. But I don't know that Iowa should be great this year. So it's an interesting game because it's a rivalry game. It's an interesting game because Iowa State's in a position where they didn't have a great year last year when people thought they were going to. The coach is still a good coach, but his name has kind of like lessened in like for the last two or three years, every job that opened, Matt Campbell's name was being called. And now he's staying and they didn't have the great year. So there's a little bit of, you know, I'm not questioning, he's not on the hot seat, but like his name doesn't come up as much as before. Like people are questioning, whatever. It's hard to maintain, essentially, is what I'm saying. But also, they're in a point where the Big 12 is going to be changing. And so they want to be that team that steps up and takes over the Big 12 when Oklahoma and Texas aren't there. So it's a lot on Iowa State.
And I think
it's
they're
a
lot good enough, too.
Yeah, and it's a lot on, I mean, same thing with Jim Harbaugh, never beating your rival. Like, that weighs on you. Iowa is Iowa. They're going to try to win the West again. They want to be a good team. They want to prove people like me wrong and saying that despite the fact that they don't have an offense, they don't have a quarterback, and they lost some good players on defense, that they're going to still be good. You always want to win this game. It's early. So, I mean, I don't really have to sell it, but, like, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be an interesting game. So, that is the only real interesting game. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Nah, you covered it pretty well. The only reason why I think it's interesting is that this could be the slip up for Iowa. I think Iowa State can pull this out just because of all the things you just mentioned about them not having an offense or a quarterback and losing players on defense. I think this will probably be the year Iowa State takes it. Like we've already agreed that we think Iowa's going to be terrible this year. This is one of the games that's going to show it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that for sure. The next one are very now like
we're
sicko.
Pulling ears, bro.
Yeah, it's very sicko interesting to me on a very, very thin line, like you said, pulling hairs. I have Virginia versus Illinois. The reason why I have this, me and Dante are both high on Illinois. We're not like 9 wins high, but like we're feeling good vibes from the programs. We think they're a team that nobody wants to face. This is a game they need to win to get to bowl eligibility.
Yes.
Virginia is not a great team, but they're a tough team. This is not a directional school where you expect no matter what Illinois to win.
Illinois is pretty much playing Illinois in this game.
Yeah. So if Illinois comes in and blows them out, it's like, okay. Now what are we talking about? Like, you know, like it's going to be interesting if their running back comes in. Do you remember his name? Running back?
No, I don't.
I can't think of it either. I know you knew it at one point because you told me.
Yeah.
Is it Chase Brown?
I think so.
Is that Chase Brown? Either way, he'll pull it up. If the running back comes in and runs for 200, and it's like, it's, you know, relatively exciting because we don't think they're going to win the Big Ten West. 6 or 7 games is where I think we both have them, but it's just an important game. Because you have to win the Big Ten's hard. You have to win your non-conference games. And Virginia is what it is, but they're also in the ACC, and I think that's a shit conference. So even a bad Big Ten team should be able to beat most ACC teams.
Josh McCray.
Who's Chase Brown? I think Chase Brown is their second team running back. I think they have two good running backs.
Yeah, Josh McCray is the junior. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if Josh McCray comes in, or even Chase Brown and Josh McCray come in and carve him up 350 yards on the ground, four touchdowns, something crazy. Like, so it's splitting hairs, but it's going to be an interesting game because you want to see growth. And this is a game that you want them to win to show that growth.
Yeah, this is definitely the biggest, not the biggest game, but it's like it's a statement that they can make here, and I hope
you can.
Yeah, I hope they pick. I hope they losing my words here. Now I'm starting to get tired. I do hope they blow them out though, because that'd be nice. Because now you're scaring a lot of people in the Big Ten. Not like fully worried, but it's like, oh man, next year, 2 years from now, this team gonna be crazy.
Yeah, because they're under their coach, they're always gonna be a team you don't want to play.
No, simply. Not at all. And I don't think he's gonna be one of those coaches that we might see for a while playing with Illinois if he don't take a pro job after turning Illinois around.
And I don't think he will. He's always been in college. Yeah. I think he's one of those. I think he's just a college guy. The next one is not interesting. It just has a storyline to it. And it's a storyline that I disagree with, and I think you disagree with. I think we talked about it last week. Everyone thinks Northwestern is going to be good because they always are good after having a bad season.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be good. I don't think they have anything on the roster that they're going to be good. But again, I'm just the only thing I would say. If Northwestern's going to be
football this year,
yeah, that's why it's on here. If Northwestern's going to be good, they got to beat Duke. If Northwestern loses this game, I don't want no one to talk to me about Northwestern for the rest.
Don't win it by only 3 points.
Like, win the game or don't. If you don't, I don't want to hit. Like, I think that for me, this is going to be a confirmation game because I think they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a confirmation game that this is not their year. Maybe next year, if they have the quarterback, they're supposedly they have a freshman on the roster and some other things like that. I don't think it's going to be this year. I'm not buying into the, well, they just do it. You know, they just win. They lose one, they win one. They lose one, they win one. I'm not buying that this year. I've looked at their roster. I've seen how they recruited. They were the last in the Big Ten recruiting. Like, I'm not buying it. So, interesting. Not so much.
They've been around last for a while, right, and recruiting for a few years.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, I just think that they always win when they have seniors thing. It's hard to maintain, and they're losing players to transfer. They lost their best player to transfer. Yeah. That doesn't normally happen at Northwestern. So maybe there's some things going on in that program that people are not talking about.
It might be time for a new face.
You know. If anyone wants to join the fire coaches bandwagon, you know,
you know, it might where to be find just me. That time. Yeah,
you know where to find me. All right, so we're gonna wrap up the show with a pit stop, and I'm gonna keep this short because we've kind of touched on it a little bit. My pit stop is men being men, which is interesting because I know I talk a lot about like it is not weird or gay or whatever to drink fruity drinks and like this and like that. I really hate all of these like societal expectations on men, although I'm going to put some expectations on men. I feel like as a man, there are certain things you should know how to do. I don't care how you dress. I don't care what you drink. None of that kind of stuff. You have to know how to change a tire. See? You have to know how to change a tire, right? That you have, like, you don't have to have a million tools. You got to have a hammer and some screwdrivers. Yeah, like, you have to know how to cut some grass. Like, you don't have to like it. You are not less of a man if you pay someone to cut your grass.
Oh, God,
no. Not to the point where you can pay someone to cut your grass. I just feel like there are certain things that you should know how to do as a man. Also, I feel like there are things that, I won't say should, but there are things that I think are beneficial for men to know how to do because it saves you money. And me personally,
that's fair.
It makes me feel like more of a man to know how to do it. I change me and my fiance's brakes. I do it with the help of her dad because he's older and he's done it longer. But like, I could do it today by myself and not need his help. It's just he has the garage, he has some of the tools, whatever. But like, I could do it today without any help. I didn't know how to change oil, so I asked him to teach me how to change oil. But even if he didn't teach me, I would have Googled it because oil changes should not be $240.
Yeah, it's like, I think the cheapest you can do now is $55. And like, once I found out it's not hard to do, I was like, damn, I've been wasting a lot of money.
It takes like 10 minutes. Yeah, you undo a screw, you put something there to collect the oil, you put the screw back in, you put in new oil, and then you can check your filter if you want to.
I've learned how to change brake and headlights.
I change my own headlights, change my own windshield wipers. I don't think all of this stuff you need to do to be a man. I'm not one of those persons, but I do think there are things.
It definitely comes in handy.
You need to be able to, like, you can't change a tire.
I believe all car owners should know how to change a tire, because there's going to be a there might be a time, and not everybody is willing to be helpful. So that's why I think everyone should know how to change a tire.
That's fair, because I am going to teach my daughters how to change tires. Mm-hmm. The reason why I don't put that on women, and there are a lot of fathers who treat women like fragile, whatever, I'm not saying good or bad, and they never teach their daughter how to do that. So I feel like, while I agree that everyone should know how to, and you can make the same point that there's YouTube and things like that, there are some gender differences in society, even though we're going against some things. And maybe I should, I don't know. I just feel like, as a man, there are certain things that I feel like you should know how to do to help you, to help your family, to help save money, all those other kind of things. And me personally,
I'll give you that.
I feel like more of a man. Like, but I'm also not stupid. Okay, let me not say stupid, because I don't want to offend anyone. Personally, I'm not so prideful that I think I can fix everything, though. Because, like, we all hear those jokes about, like, oh, I can do that. I'm not going to pay nobody to paint my house. I'm not going to pay nobody to do this. There are certain projects that I'll accept or learn how to do. And there are certain things that I'm definitely paying the professionals to do. I think that's a fine line. But I think that, I just think it's weird sometimes. It's like, you don't know how to change tires. You don't know how to use a jack. You don't know how to, like, change a light bulb. Like, just little things around the house. You don't own no tools. You don't got a hammer and screwdriver. You don't know what a Phillips is. Like,
that be throwing me off. That, like, it'd be stuff like that. I'd be like, yeah, hand me that Phillips. What's a Phillips?
I can't. It's Father's Day. It's Father's Day.
It's the one that comes to a point. Just hand me that one. I'm like, oh, I thought that was I don't know what it was called. Or, like, I remember, and I know, like you just said, that sometimes some girls aren't taught that, but I definitely remember asking my ex, like, yeah, can you hand me the flathead? And she handed me the Phillips, and she was like, I thought that was the flathead because it comes to I forgot what she said, but it just didn't make any sense to me. I was like, you see how it's flat? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, called a flathead because of that. It has a flat head. I was like, man.
Me personally, I am not going to gender my kids when raising them. And, like, I'm not going to teach my daughter how to change a tire. Or I'm not going to teach my son how to cook. I think all that stuff's weird. But what's that we're talking about? Yeah. I mean, I guess we could, because it's Father's Day, but that's not what we're talking about. I just feel like that there are certain things that you should know how to do. If you don't know, that's fine. But you can learn, especially now when YouTube exists. Like,
you can really fix up your whole car just by watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, and it's just like it's like little things. Do you know how expensive and how long? Like, literally, in Ohio it gets cold, whatever. Mm-hmm. I called AAA to help a friend, and a friend was a woman. She wanted help, so I went and, you know, I talked to AAA and some things like that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. When I was talking to the guy at AAA, he essentially told me, he said, make sure you get your car checked, you do all this other kind of stuff, because we are understaffed, and it is going to take us hours to get to you when the winter starts. I appreciate that information. That was great.
Yeah,
the reason why I say certain things like this is you would rather wait 6 hours for AAA than change your own tire.
Yeah, yeah, and I think people are going to have to know that. Like, AAA is going to take some time this year, this winter. And I'm not surprised by that. I'm really not.
Yeah, and this was last year, but it's going to take some. It's going to be the same thing this year.
It's going to be the same thing this year.
Yeah, and so my thing is like, I just feel like you don't have a sister, a cousin, a female friend, a mom, an aunt, or somebody who relies on you to help them with things.
It's going to happen.
A little brother, like it's nobody, like nobody feels comfortable calling you to help change a tire or to do a light bulb or to hang something on the wall or something like. Mm-hmm. I just feel like.
And see, that's
what we used to build houses.
And you know what? That'd be the type of tool I'll be cool with somebody getting me. You give me a lug nut, a lug nut thing that they could take those off. I forgot what it's called, but because like there would be manufacturers that'll use them, and then it's really tight. So now I'm using a stupid regular old. I know tools, I just don't know the name. I know exactly what I need, I just don't know the name.
I've never known tire iron.
Yeah, yeah. You can't give me a regular old tire iron to take those lug nuts off if you've gotten this from a manufacturer. Go ahead and give me one of them. Because now I'm in business.
Yeah.
You need all your tire chains, I got you.
Someone stole my car jack. And I didn't realize it for a while.
That's an ignorant thing to steal.
Yeah, and now I need to buy. Now I need to buy a new car jack. And they're not super expensive, but they're not super cheap either.
No, and if you want a really good one, you're gonna spend some money. And I usually get a good one.
Yeah, I spend between $120 and $200.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not using it often, but I get one of the big ones with wheels, like the ones that they have in the car.
I'm not turning. I'm not turning nothing. Waiting for that little black thing to get up. Like no. Give me a real car jack.
And those things scare me because I've had cars fall when I was using them. Like I've had cars bend them yeah.
before.
Yeah. So I actually that reminds me I need to get one now. I always have a real car jack. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all. It's Father's Day, I don't believe in this I hate when people say things are gay. That's homophobic. That's weird. Yeah. I hate when people say men shouldn't eat seafood and shouldn't drink this and shouldn't eat that. And all that. It's stupid. I hate all of that. But I do think that, as a man, I can say that. I feel like you should have a couple of tools. You should know how to change a tire. You should know how to do a couple of things to help some people out around the house, save you some money, save you some time.
Yeah. You'll be very happy about. I'm so happy. I don't need anybody to change my brakes, change my rotor.
Brakes are like $500.
Yeah,
it's not hard.
Mm-mm. Nope.
When I realized how easy changing your brake, and I've known how to change my brakes for a while. The only thing I don't know how to do is brake lines, like when you have to flood the brake line.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
like I don't know.
Sure, there's a video.
Yeah, right. But like just regularly changing, changing your brake pads and then changing your rotor.
The first time I learned that, I was like, wow. And my dad was like, yeah, it's really hard.
They charge you $500-$600 to do two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your back brake's gonna be $450. If you need all four, it's gonna be $800.
I've gotten that. My ex told me that. She's like, yeah, they said it'd be $450 to change my back brakes. I was like, I'll do it for a Chipotle bowl. Like, bring it over. Like, I got you.
You buy the equipment and bring me some food.
I was like, you got your brakes? She's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, now they're robbing you. Like, they're robbing you. I'll do it. I was like, I'll just come down there because I didn't even think it would be that bad. Yeah, I got you. Like, nah. So
that's my pit stop. That's a crazy transition.
Like, yeah, it is.
being mad at people buying tools, but then telling you to have some tools.
I think it's have some. Now, if you're getting if you're getting bought the same thing over and over again, you have every right to be mad.
Yeah,
because it's like you're not even paying attention.
You've seen me use this.
If it ain't rusted, don't buy me nothing. Like, don't buy me that same thing. My pit stop's a real quick one. I just wanted to tell everybody that don't let social media and society move you at a rate that's too fast for you. I know there's a lot of evidence of like people young, real young, getting being successful or having a nice house and stuff like that, I think most of that is fake anyway. I think people are just faking it to look good. But don't let that rush you. I had a conversation with my family over the past few weeks, and that was one of my things that I has been going through my head, is that like I'm 28 and sometimes I just feel like I haven't done anything or moved far enough in life. And my father, see, now it's Father's Day, he goes, it's never too late. He was like, I feel like it'd be too late by the time if you're like 60 or 70. You don't want to do that at that age and be like, man, I could have done this. But he was like, you're still young. And he was like, even in your 30s, is still young. You can still do stuff. People make 30 feel old, but it's really not that old. Yeah. And so that's all I wanted to say. It's just like, move at your own pace. It'll come. If you want it, it'll come. You don't have to, that grind life type of mentality, that I think that's just capitalism talking to us in a way. You don't have to sacrifice things that'll make you healthy, like sleep, eating, and stuff, to be successful. You can go at your own pace.
That's all. Also, I agree with that 100%. And there are levels of success. For me, success is you being happy. Like, success for me is literally doing something that I relatively enjoy, because, like, I don't want to work. Like, it's doing something that I really, doing something I don't hate, being able to have some time to do things I like podcasting, playing video games, and being able to take care of my family, going on vacations, you know, having things. But it's not, for me, being successful is not making $100,000, not making $200,000, it's not making, not being a millionaire, all these kind of things. It's just about being able to do the things that I want to do, and being able to provide and be happy. And you can do that and not need 700, like, you know. So, and the other thing that I say about the social media thing, you see people doing this stuff, but you don't know the details.
Yeah.
Like, I remember even in college seeing people with all these nice cars and things like that, and then find out that they're paying $750 a month for it. And then literally.
Or the people going on vacation all the time in college. And I'm like, how are y'all doing that? Come to find out they're taking out stupid loans to do it. I'm like, Okay. So
like even during like the pandemic, like, how are you traveling? You don't have a job, and you find out they're taking PPP loans and things like that. Like, you never know what people are actually doing. You can't, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
Social media lies to you. Also, the thing that I always say about social media is it is a very small percentage.
Yep.
And a lot of times you're following people you know or are similar to you. So just like what one person's doing on social media, not everyone's doing. Like, RDC World, if you're around our age or younger, you probably know them. Like, they make a whole bunch of funny videos and things like that, and they're great. But, like, they literally said, they were like, when we started, we bought a house we couldn't afford.
Yep.
And we hoped that it worked out. And it did work out. But they said, don't be us. Like we bought a house, like, we moved to California, Los Angeles, bought a house, shot these videos, we all lived here. And yes, we ended up making money, they're doing movies, Netflix, this kind of stuff. But like, there are so many more people who have failed that you don't see. So yeah, I love that one. Comparison is the thief of joy. Don't move at your own pace, and don't let society pressure you to do things. Like,
that's the one. Like, don't let society pressure you into a box because you're worried about the things being paid. I believe is that everyone has the capability of getting their fails paid if they need be, but don't be afraid to do stuff you enjoy. And even if it doesn't bring you money, don't be afraid to do it, because there's a chance that it just might. And don't let society scare you into not doing something because it might not bring you money.
Yeah, because not everything has to be money. Like, there's so many people who enjoy things, turn it into a side hustle, and don't like it no more. Not everything needs to bring you money. Some things can just make you happy. Like, that, it's okay to just do something because you like it. Like, it's okay to play video games because you like it. It's okay to, you know, ride a bike. It's okay to, like, I won't call myself a collector because I don't have a lot of them, but, like, I started buying Funko Pops. I have, like, three.
Oh, yeah, I have. My collection's been, is up to, I want to say, either 9 or 10 now.
Yeah, and I don't buy all of them, but like, yeah. like they don't do nothing for me. I just in the box, but there are a couple that I really like. I have a LeBron one. I have a Mike Tyson one. I got a Biggie Smalls one. I really like. I just bought a Steph Curry one. It was like $14 or so. I got it on Fat Kid Deals, and I literally waited like 6 months for it.
I like it was the pre-order ones.
Yeah, I got it pre-ordered, so it wasn't that bad. But yeah, like just do things that you enjoy. And the last thing that I gotta say about it is okay to accept help. I'm not gonna get into life stories and all that kind of stuff. But as someone who doesn't have help and has to do everything on my own, this is something I talked to my fiance about. It is okay to accept help. It is okay to have your parents, aunt, uncle, older brother, whatever, buy you things to help you pay a bill, to do this, to do that. Accept gifts, especially men.
Yeah,
I know we went on that, buy, you know, have tools, things like that. It is okay to accept gifts. It is okay to let someone treat you to something. You don't have to be hard all the time. You know, it is okay.
And I have a big problem with that, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
So that is my thing. Again, as someone who does not have a lot of help and has had to figure out a lot of life on my own, it physically pains me when I see people turning down help. Because I had to learn to accept help. It physically pains me when I see people turning down help that is just given. No strings attached. No negative things. It's someone that's willing to help you do something for you in a pinch. And you are stubborn and won't do it. So that is the message. We ended on a positive note. I'm glad that you put that there.
Yeah. You know, I had a really heart to heart with my family, and I was like, I gotta get that out there. Gotta let people, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's feeling overwhelmed with life itself. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I was talking to a couple of friends, and I was just like, I don't know a single person that's having a good year right now. Like, I'm sure that someone is, but everyone I know is going through something right now. From January to June 20th when this drops. I know people who have had family members die, who have lost their job, lost their car, like just they're, you know, like everything, like they, like their depressions, whatever it is, bad, no money, product, like every single person that I am close to is going through something. Like no one's having, like there's no one I know that's having a great year. That's very depressing, but it's just, you know, don't compare yourself to other people. You don't know what other people are going through. And like I said, do things at your own pace and it's okay. Especially for the young folks that listen, that's around our age, 20, 30 and under, like you have time to do things. Like
you have plenty of time. You have plenty of time. And you can always find something. Even if you're thinking like, man, this regular job is being more of a depressant than it is. Go ahead, do something.
It's okay.
Do something else. Do something else. Go find something else. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if you don't think you could quit, while you're doing this job, find something else that you enjoy. Find it. Because eventually you can quit, and you'll just be doing that. It things will work out. I do believe that things will always work out eventually.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a great note to end the show. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you especially for listening to this one where we only talked about the Big Ten for 5 minutes. But I still think it was a good show. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed recording it. We will catch you next week. So as always, thank you for traveling I-70 with us. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. Dante, where can they find you?
Dante, I'm on that page. DanteM10216. Look at me.
All right. See y'all next week.